Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I help families, and that's what I do. And I'm about that, not we're all about banners. They'll be about banners. We've won one. I'd like to win five more. But I'm not changing the culture here, which is how do we help young people get better?
And James Strebel.
Unlike what some people think today, the idea of playing basketball at Kentucky is to win national championships, not to see how many guys you can put in the NBA.
True.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Chris Solari going to join us here in just a second from the Detroit Free Press. We are hanging out at the Tin Roof. UK alumni here hanging out, getting ready for the Champions Classic tonight. Time-wise for us, thankful that Kentucky playing the early game. Playing the early game tonight at 7 o'clock. Full play-by-play of ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll have the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife post-game show at about 9:15, 9:30, whenever that game ends as well. So tons to talk about today. We're hanging out in the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios. Reminder, coming up in about 30 minutes will be the U of L pregame show over on 93.9 The Ville. So Ennis will be done early today. And we got you set up. So full double-barreled, as they would say.
Hell
here,
yeah.
On ESPN 680-1057. All right, let's learn more about this Michigan State team. Chris Solari joins us from the Detroit Free Press. I want to say we talked to him last year getting ready for some game. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been a minute. It feels like that if it's not Kentucky, it's Louisville. If it's not Louisville, it's Kentucky.
Yeah.
Some years it's both on Michigan State's schedule.
Yeah. Well,
I think Louisville's the one team that they're not playing this year with how loaded their schedule is.
Yes, you're exactly right. Well, I want to get to that. And, you know, I didn't know too much about this Michigan State team, obviously. And, you know, not a top 25 team. And Kentucky fans, quite frankly, have been counting this one as a win. And let's be honest, Chris, they probably still are. But then, I don't know, the Gonzaga game to me woke me up. I mean, I feel like Sparty should have won that game. Ultimately, they lose by one to Gonzaga. So was that game more heartbreaking, or was it more, hey, we can hang with some of the best teams in the country. Let's go be a top 25 team. Let's go be a good team this year. How did the faithful there react to that close loss?
No, I think yes and yes, because there weren't the expectations coming into that game, really, for this team. Just, you know, it's kind of a transitionary year. The big recruiting class is coming in next year that just signed with Xavier Booker and Jeremy Fears and a couple other guys. So this was kind of one of those stopgap years in some ways that really we didn't know what to expect with this team. I mean, they lost a couple guys from last year's team. Max Christie goes to the NBA after 1 year. And, you know, Tom Izzo started to feel a little better about his team when they had the quote-unquote secret scrimmage at Tennessee, and they played well, they
right.
rebounded well. And he said it yesterday, and I kind of thought this would be the case going in as well. You know, he loved everything about that Carrier Classic except for the outcome. He loved how his team played. He loved the fight that they showed, the competitiveness that they showed. Obviously, some few things with the fouls that they had that they need to correct, and tough to gauge shooting on an outdoor aircraft carrier too. But when they got up 12, I think everyone kind of at that point realized, well, hey, this team can be really darn good right now.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
now.
That's
not
what
later
I thought.
In the year, but right now. And then it all fell apart in the last 17 minutes of the game. So, you know, and they were right there at the end, and they, you know, they had a chance to get a shot off, and the deck of the carrier got a little slick, and Tyson Walker had to pass it up, and Jaden Akins missed it, and there were a couple missed opportunities down the stretch. But I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag with that, but I think probably more positives than negatives that came out of that game, because, and I think we'll be the same tonight against Kentucky, where Tom Izzo is going to come out of it knowing what his team's strengths and weaknesses are.
Well, I want to get to the strengths and weaknesses here, and I know that's a very corny sports radio question for me to ask you, but playing on the aircraft carrier, the scene, the reason that you put some good teams up there, I love all of it, but the wind, the sun in the eyes, and you mentioned at critical times, it's a slick surface, let's be honest. That really bothers me. So, listen, I know Izzo loves this kind of stuff. I get it. What did you make of just the playing surface and the game itself? Was it impacted at all by playing it where they did?
I think towards the end. And I think that's why they bumped the start time up a little bit on those games now. They realized once sunset hits that, hey, you're right on the ocean, so you're going to get a little slick
right.
coming off the, you know, precipitation off the ocean. So, I think the sun at one point when it was starting to set was a little bit of a factor. You know, it happened to be going Michigan State's way in the first half where they were kind of looking into it a little bit. I don't know how much that played a factor with Joey Hauser's shooting problems because two of his shots
yeah.
got blocked. So it doesn't really matter. You go over yeah. 5 and two of your shots get blocked at 6-9, you got something going on there. But you know, I think that, you know, once it started to kind of settle a little bit, they were able to get out and run in transition. And that's something that Gonzaga does a really good job.
Chris Solari.
State was able to do it with them.
Sorry, Chris, we're breaking up a little bit here. That's on me. We're downtown Indianapolis right now, so we might have connection issues as we go. No, well, I mean, yeah, we're at a tin roof. We're right across the street. We're in a bar. And so and so you're breaking up a little bit, but that's on us. So, no, you sound fine on the air. What are they good at? What are they bad at? I mean, this is an upperclassman team. You mentioned Joey Hauser. Looking at his game log this year has been different maybe than other years. The matchup, I expect Oscar Tshiebwe to play. How much? I do not know, but we know Kentucky is going to throw quite a bit at Michigan State. I want to get to the matchup here in a second, but what does Izzo feel comfortable with this team, and what is truly a work in progress?
Well, I think the bigs are a work in progress, as you saw from Hauser up to Mati Sissoko. You know, you don't know what you're going to get just yet. Sissoko played great in that game against Gonzaga and against Timmy. Hauser didn't look so good on either end of the court. Both of those guys ended up fouling out, and they're not very deep. I mean, they only got 10 scholarship guys. So those are things that are a little bit of detriments right now, as well as just trying to feel how to get these lineups together when you have so few big bodies. You know, they've got a freshman Carson Cooper and Jackson Kohler. Those are their other two bigs along with Sissoko. And, you know, Hauser's at his best when he's at the four. And I think when he has to play more five, you see games like he did against Gonzaga. He's kind of an enigma, that's for sure. And they need him playing at his best. But I think same with Malik Hall. You know, Malik Hall played a pretty good game on the aircraft carrier against Gonzaga. Tyson Walker and A.J. Hogard in the backcourt. I mean, the backcourt's the strength. I mean, Walker and Hogard have the ability to hit shots and get downhill and make things happen. They're both really good defenders and agile. Jaden Akins is the best two-way player, but he's 9 weeks removed from foot surgery. So
wow.
He's not quite 100%, but he was able to get back for that game. And this is an important week for him and an important game because they really need him to start contributing, which has been a little bit of a struggle. But, I mean, he pushed himself to get back. But Pierre Brooks is another guy that they like who's got to contribute more on the boards. Got a great outside shot. He's got to be able to take the ball off the dribble to the deck, too. I feel like I've pretty much covered the entire roster.
I was going to say,
yeah.
To
cover.
Well, why is it a transition year? Did he miss out on guys in the portal? Is that what happened? Because that's what happened to Louisville.
I think there was some of it, and I think some of it is also by design to not, because I think coaches are trying, especially basketball coaches, are trying to feel this out, because how much do your 11th, 12th, and 13th guys play on scholarship? I think that's kind of it. You know, you in some ways you keep people happy because you're given a minute, and then you keep scholarships open in case real impact players come along rather than just filling scholarships. But, you know, I think all these coaches are trying to figure it out and navigate it on the fly, and they're all taking different approaches. That's kind of where Izzo's going right now with it.
Does Izzo support it? Does he back it?
You're talking about the portal?
Yeah, I mean, the portal, no. Because, I mean, around here, you know, Cal has. I mean, Antonio Reeves is going to be a player. He's went out and got a guy or two that has been a key member, but he hasn't overdone it. And we've been dealing with this with U of L, Chris, that, you know, they missed out on so many guys that they don't have a good team because they went 0-10, you know, in the transfer portal. I'm looking at Michigan State. They're an upperclassman team. You mentioned the freshmen are going to be there next year. It feels like to me one or two, you know, maybe portal pieces or something, and you're talking about a top 25 team or something, top 20 team.
Well, he has two. I mean, Joey Hauser was just pre-portal because he had to sit out a year, and then the next year transfers were eligible. Don't get Izzo started talking because you'll miss a game, you'll miss dinner, you'll miss breakfast the next morning if you get started talking about social media, the transfer portal, and name, image, likeness, and all these things. These are all things that. That
I'm sure.
On. He adapts to it, too, though. And so, obviously, Hauser and Tyson Walker are both guys. I know they had looked at some guys like over the last couple of years, but if they weren't the fit, I think that was that's a big concern for Izzo, is the fit, the chemistry, the toughness factor that it takes to play in his program. You know, I think there's some concern about poisoning the well at times when you bring a guy in from a different place that maybe has 3-4 years of experience, that, you know, how does it interact with everybody else? I mean, he's dipped into the grad transfer realm at times. You know, I don't think it's necessary. I think that for him, it's got to be the right fit. Rather than just going after whoever might be the top guy on the board. Because I feel like there were a couple guys that he had recruited hard and was in the final two or three for, enter the transfer portal, and he doesn't really re-recruit them. So kind of different. I think that's going to be something that over the next few years, all the coaches are going to kind of take different bents on it. And, you know, we may see different – it's kind of like Jim Boeheim and his zone defense, right? I mean, some guys can do it. Some guys don't want to do it at all.
Right. You're exactly right. Chris Solari with us. He's been following Michigan State. We can dive into Vince Merrill and UK football battling with Mel Tucker down there. Maybe we'll do that at some point down the road. Just a couple more. We'll get you out of here. Obviously, the game tonight, post-game and everything else right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. If Michigan State's going to be there at the end like they did with Gonzaga or, heck, win the game, how do they do it tonight?
Well, first of all, you got to keep Kentucky off the glass. That's a big deal, and it's got to be a team effort because they don't necessarily have that one Oscar Tshiebwe type player who's going to control the paint. They got to have it from multiple guys, and they got to be able to box out. And that's something that Izzo preaches and harps on. You know, not just the box outs, but the free throw box outs. But they got to also be able to hit from outside. They can't have one of those games where you live and die by the three, and that three kills you. You know, they got to be able to hit some, but also take advantage of what they got. And then I think third, they've got to defend like they did against Gonzaga, because that the rebounding was a surprise, but the defense was what helped that rebounding, and they defended at an elite level in that game. If they can do that, they can be in this game.
Last one. This is an odd question. Do you follow at all what's Imani Bates? Because Louisville thought they were going to get him, and then he went to what? Eastern Michigan. He dropped like 30 the other night. And Louisville's 0-2, and they've lost to Bellarmine, a local D1 school here, and they've lost to Wright State. And we talked a lot about Imani Bates, and I know obviously he was going to go to Michigan State. Izzo did not re-recruit him. And he ends up somehow at Eastern Michigan. There's, you know, I mean, he had the gun charge and he had other things around him. You guys still follow what's going on with him?
I feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi when Luke Skywalker goes to him, "Do you know Darth Vader?" And he says, "Ah, well, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time." Actually, I take that back. Ben Kenobi, he asked him if he was Obi-Wan. My bad. Missed my Star Wars reference there. But
it's okay.
That's kind of what it is. It's you know, I mean, the saga with Imani Bates has been it's just surreal from start to finish. And we're talking back when he was in eighth grade. You know, I mean,
oh, yeah.
We all started following him as kind of the next Magic Johnson to come out of Michigan. I mean, you know, our longtime preps writer who has been around since, you know, the advent of James Naismith, he said that he was the best player he saw as a freshman since Magic Johnson. And then you're in the middle of a pandemic and he commits to Michigan State on a random Tuesday on ESPN. And you're just, you know, nothing is making sense, right? So then all of a sudden, there's the prep school. Then there's, I mean, it's been one thing after another with the kid. And then he goes to Memphis after he decommits from MSU. And that was, by all accounts, a train wreck. And mm-hmm. I think that kind of talk about the transfer portal and sometimes worrying about a guy poisoning the well. You know, I think there was a concern about that as, you know, particularly as he got older, his junior and senior year of high school. You started seeing things where it was like, this guy's just gunning from way too far out, way too often. There's not much in the fundamental realm. In fact, Jaden Akins from Michigan State's team went and played at Bates Academy with him and then got out of there and went to, I believe, Sunrise Christian. So sometimes if you're Louisville, I think you can look at what he did in that game against Michigan and say, this guy is a really talented player. But I think right now he is still a guy that has to have everything revolve around him. And I don't know if that's the kind of guy, if you want to have a ground-up team, you know, that's, you know, 1-13 on your roster.
Sure,
contribute.
Sure.
He's not the guy.
The only thing you missed was him coming back and hitting a deep three in the NCAA tournament. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been fascinating, surreal. Sad to see what happened this summer with the gun charge, you know.
Kind yep.
of, but you do watch the kid like this, and he's been under such scrutiny since he was 13 years old that you just also worry for the kid, too, because it's not normal. And his talents aren't normal, but neither is the spotlight that a kid like that attracts from such a young age. So, you know, I wish the best for him because, you know, hopefully that this is a springboard year. He goes back to his hometown. He plays for Eastern Michigan in his hometown school. Has a good game against Michigan. They you know, kind of he went a little hero ball at the end that kind of cost him.
Oh, yeah.
That
oh,
game.
Yeah.
But there's certainly some things that you've seen this year that you say, oh, like a couple games just saying, well, it looks like he has some building blocks. I'm not anointing him a number one overall pick anymore.
No.
That's sure.
No, that's out the door. Well, Chris, enjoy the game or games tonight. Should be an interesting one between Kentucky and Michigan State. And we'll catch up down the road, whether it be football, basketball with the locals or anything else. Take care. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
All right, there we go. Chris Solari with us here on The Take. It's ESPN 680-1057. Back, let's take a break. We'll take a break on the other end. Bruiser Flint sound.
Yeah, Bruiser Flint, let's go.
Bruiser Flint next.
Business is picking up, Andy.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
They made a tweet. Did Adidas.
Yeah.
about sports bras.
Sports bras? Okay. Okay, well.
Yeah, to get a little closer.
Okay,
here,
I'll stand up.
It's because this made my legs buckle at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Okay?
I haven't seen this, no.
Here is Adidas's tweet. I'm showing it to James Strebel right okay. now.
And James Strebel.
Oh! Whoa! Yow! What are they doing? I didn't. Huh? I didn't think that was allowed on Twitter. What? What are they doing? Like, what the hell's that?
It's breasts.
Yeah, but
Jack, I'm sending it to you.
All right.
I've never seen a like company like that. Like they're. I'm confused. What?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The best part is the heavy metal music playing after. After that. I like that.
I like it too, yes.
I like that. So during the break, we're back here. We're in Indianapolis. We're hanging out with you until 6 o'clock here on ESPN 680-1057. Reminder, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, and, where's he from? I don't know. Where's
Fox
he from?
Sports. Fox Sports. He's the Lord of the Brackets.
He's a Lord of the Brackets. He'll join us coming up at 5 o'clock.
Well, Big Ten Network.
They just turned on a speaker next to us, Jack. Does it sound too bad? Maybe I need to turn away.
Yeah. No, it sounds fine on my end.
Okay, good.
Well, that you know what? We're worried about you.
Jack is popping in here right now, buddy.
I talked to Kellen Strebel. He said he had one IU fan, buddy of his.
Yes.
And he said his name is also Jack.
Yes.
Good.
How about that?
And his last initial is G as well.
Oh, how about that?
Well, Jack G. Southern Indiana Jack G. Absolutely.
How about that? It's nice to see he didn't become a Louisville fan.
No, his dad's
like the thousands of other ones.
His dad's an IU terrorist. His dad, he texts me all kinds of stuff.
I mean, what does he text you? There's nothing to text.
It's whenever Louisville loses.
Well, who's he texting?
He texts me about when Louisville loses. He sends me box scores and stuff.
By the way,
he
I've been watching this woman crush an entire bottle of champagne
by
herself. I've been watching this.
It's amazing.
Jack. I'm about to make my way over there.
She opened an entire bottle of champagne.
Cooper would definitely.
Did you see the tweet?
No.
So I sent out a picture of Kellen on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Coop answers it. You know what he says?
What he say?
Got any more tickets?
Hang on, let me text him. I can get him in.
Oh, let's go! Get a little Coupasan. Let's go! Yeah,
you need a tick.
Yeah, he said. Yep, he said.
Gotta watch out. That's a tick. That I said.
Yes, like a ticket.
Yeah. Look at the last thing I sent to Coop.
Oh man,
ooh. We're in love with the girl on the right.
So who are these people?
She works in Memphis.
Oh, Memphis, little Memphis
for the Grizzlies. Yeah,
oh,
she's
the Grizzlies,
the sideline.
Not the Tigers.
Not the Tigers.
Okay,
Coop's in love.
Course he is. Yes, he'd be in love right now. Andy, they're everywhere. Coop's demographic is everywhere.
An update before we get to Bruiser Flint sound.
I can't wait for this.
And we'll get to some Malik Cunningham talk as well here on The Take on this Tuesday. Is this Gangnam Style?
This is Gangnam Style.
Is it Gangnam or Gangnam?
I think it could be said either way. I don't know.
I feel like I need. Is it Gangnam? This
is
This is UK musty.
I mean,
this is BBN musty.
I think this might. What was the group? Oh my gosh. Never mind.
Here's the update.
Okay.
It's official now. Michael Jordan's son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Oh my gosh. That
easy 25-year difference. She was in a little bikini.
There's bikini pics?
Yeah, there's. He looked at Kellen's ex.
No.
Well, I mean, you can find Larsa Pippen and you can.
There's plenty of stuff out there.
It's the internet. Don't worry about it. I'm sure Markham's got some on a Sea of Blue saved on a secret iCloud hard drive.
Markham on a Tuesday in Indianapolis. He might be here. I don't know.
Where is Markham?
He does some photography.
Are any BBN legends here?
I know there's
this
one.
This is where it's.
There is one legend here.
You know who I miss?
Who?
This is where I really miss Mike Pratt. Mike Pratt would be right here next to us.
Damn right he
they'd
would
be. They'd be flocking. Like, yeah, I know Mike Pratt. How about that?
They'd find out who he was. They'd
well,
be
they
like, that's
know.
Mike Pratt. And that's Mike Pratt right over here with these two gas bags, doing a little radio.
Tell the people who is here, though.
Okay.
And so. I think we need to talk to this guy. I want to know everything about this man's life.
All right. So, Jack and listeners, the guy that's always behind John Calipari at Rupp Arena with the blue sunglasses. You know what I'm talking about, Jack?
Yes.
He's here. He's here. He's dominating the bar right now.
Man. He's right buying the bar.
He might be buying
the
bar.
He's like, I'm buying this bar, and I'm going to give it to Drew Franklin as a wedding gift.
As a wedding gift, yes.
You run this.
Shelling out money.
By the way, over your right shoulder right now,
yeah.
There's one lonely picture of Bobby Knight up in the corner.
What the hell is that?
Jack, there's one lonely picture of Bobby Knight.
It's a little rectangle of Bobby Knight. What
there
the
is.
Who is that? Who's he with?
It might be the owner.
Dane Fife?
It might be. It's not Dane Fife. It's not Dane Fife.
I was just asking.
Yeah.
It might be Dane Fife.
Mitch just texts us. He knows the Memphis Grizzly lady.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. How?
She's got to be thinking, you know what turns me on? Freckled redheads.
Yes, absolutely. Name Mitchell.
Name Mitchell.
The name Mitchell.
I can't talk. That's like half me. Engine. That's like half me, too. Anyway, so
Mitchell,
there you go.
Had the freckles, though.
Hang on. I gotta in Larsa Pippen. Hang on.
You got Mitch, you on any dates with this mysterious Memphis Grizzlies reporter girl?
Dude, she's like a knockout 10. No.
She is. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh,
is that Michael Jordan's son?
Jack, even Fox News picked up on it, so you know Issel saw it. Issel's like, oh, he's like, in my day, it was common.
It was common. I thought you said to say it's off limits.
It was common. Yeah, you're right. It would be
off limits.
You never dated another player's wife.
Never, ever. You didn't.
As I have to use the proper terminology.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Oh, boy. What was that?
In fact, you know what, Jack? Jack, do you have the stuff at the beginning where he went at rummage? I mean, today.
Issel went at rummage?
I mean, Issel was just a complete.
Over DJ.
Terrorist.
Oh, I see just a lot of Issel.
Man, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Go ahead and play
with
it,
the
Jack.
DJ Wagner stuff, all I can remember is the day that U of L announced that Kenny Payne was the head coach. And Pratt and I were sitting there in the conference room doing our show prep. That meant we were telling stories on each other.
And I was going to say.
And we didn't do a whole lot of show prep in those days. And I can remember Rummage literally skipping down the hall saying, well, we're going to get DJ now. Yeah, how'd that work out for you, Rum?
So,
boom, Rum.
How'd that work out for you, big boy?
Might
be time to make another trip to Disney World.
Oh, holy smokes!
Call
them
Rum.
Oh, come on, help me here.
No,
me here,
there's no help with that. That was perfect. That was perfect sports talk radio. No, that was perfect sports talk radio.
He called him Rum.
How'd that work out for you, Rum?
He called him Big Boy.
It's the name of the hour. He went Big Boy just like Strebel, didn't he?
Dude, that makes me so happy. Even he went Big Boy.
Even if you're Issel or if you're just a creature like Strebel.
Yeah.
It's the same verbiage.
He did
another thing that was very Strebel-esque about a minute after that.
All right, do okay, it. Go ahead.
Kentucky has the number one recruit, the number two recruit, the number six recruit, and the number nine recruit. And U of L has a three star. All right, let's go.
I mean, that's you, Strebel. The same cloth,
it's
baby.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
Jack, it's staggering. No, it's. I got to be honest. Issel being what he is, which we love.
Yes.
I'm stunned he's you. Like, I'm stunned.
Today I've been told they are all Spartans. That's what I've been told.
No.
See, isn't that pitiful?
It is pitiful. I agree.
It's pitiful. It's pitiful that you have to resort to rooting for UK's opponents instead of rooting for your own team.
Well, maybe in 2.5 weeks they won't have to do that. You're a week and a half here, I guess. You know.
With the
different sport.
Yeah.
No, I actually disagree with Issel on that one. That's all you do.
That's all we do.
Yeah,
you don't think I was rooting for little Bellarmine the other night?
But I mean,
it's
probably as surprised as I've been that it's not like Issel is like a tamer version of you. He's you.
No, he's me.
No, he's you.
We're cut from the same cloth.
No, he's you. Yeah. Like, it's not like, well, you know, he's a nicer, he's kinder, he's been around the block, he's a luminary and everything. No,
just
he's
some
you.
Tendencies no, here or there. Yeah.
He's a guy from
Straight
the
up.
South End who lives in New Albany.
Yeah.
Like, and has his wife drive him around. Like, he is who he is.
That's awesome, man. That makes me so happy. It's not like Issel and I are around each other ever. So this is all
never.
Natural. This,
oh, never.
This is all natural.
No,
all
it's
of
never.
It is. It's fantastic.
Although, the only thing I would rip Issel about was he's like, I turned into their show yesterday and they weren't talking DJ. I'm like, bro, we talked DJ 3 hours.
Yeah, Dan.
I yelled about Nolan Smith and his own fans shanking him because this is not Duke in North Carolina.
Go get some players. Go get a guard. This is what I was going to
go get a guard.
Go get a guard. Again, go get a life.
Again, Nolan Smith found out that this is not nice. This is not tea and crumpets with Roy Williams and
no.
Coach K.
And sweater vests.
These people are evil. Our coaches have sex in restaurants for 15 seconds.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you, Nolan?
Yeah.
This is a war, buddy. Okay? This is verbal assault. That's that's why Strebel's around. He's verbal assault.
John Calipari is not looking to go out and just... You know, ease. This is beat Kenny Payne. And
I mean, could they turn the music
and
higher? And he
easy.
Can't hear anything. People are trying to talk about
Dan Issel.
People are trying to talk about Gerald Fitch around here.
Damn right.
You know, one can talk about Antonio Daniels or Kalina Azubuki when it's so loud.
Chuck Hayes over there.
I mean, there might be a luminary might walk in. You never know.
Jared Prickett talk over there. You don't want to meet some Shigar Yalin talk over
I love
there.
His, he's with us, right?
Yeah.
We do this every time.
Yeah, he's alive.
He's
alive.
Okay.
He's alive.
Thank you.
Wukosh Orbzoot at this table
there you go.
Here. You know, it's everywhere,
there
baby.
There you go.
Let's go.
Let's go. 437-9680. What did Scott Satterfield say? What did Scott Satterfield say about Malik? That was today. He had his press conference. Old Jackie Boy was hosting that little show, throwing to Scott Satterfield.
I like it, Jack.
Malik day to day. Here's what Satterfield had to say.
Malik's day-to-day, I mean, you know, we saw he went out and right the last play before a half and kind of landed on his shoulder, kind of dinged that whole area around there. I don't really know the specifics of the injury, but I really just kind of bruising around the shoulder. And, you know, so he's kind of going to be day-to-day. I mean, he's been over here, you know, all day, Sunday, Monday, and, you know, today, and just working, trying to get better, trying to get out there. And so, you know, as we go throughout the week, we'll have a better idea of where he's at. But today I'd list him as day-to-day.
All right, so, and then on Malik's injury, Satterfield was asked about that. Keep him coming, Jack.
His hand, well, it's
the left hand. Yeah,
the non-throwing hand. I mean, it's a little limited as far as, you know, there's a little discomfort there. But, I mean, you certainly can go out and play and not really affect how you're going to play the game. I mean, he still ran around, still tried to make plays. You know, I think in the game was 10 for 13 throwing, you know, against a really good defense. I mean, Clemson's one of the top defenses in the country, and their D-line and linebackers were very talented. And for him to go out there and play the way he did, I thought he went out there and played well. It's just a really good defense, you know, and, you know, now, you know, with the right shoulder, which is his throwing arm, so, you know, he's going to have to get that healthy so he can throw, you know, obviously. So, again, we'll see how quickly that can heal up and if he's available or not for Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to read and I'm just listening. And, Jack, I know you listened and I think you probably watched on the stream. I'm trying to pick up. Boy, what the hell are they playing
that's
right
a
now,
weird
music-wise?
No, man.
I'm trying to pick up context clues.
Yeah.
On what I think, I have no idea. I mean, the thing that would worry me is, I mean, he came back immediately. You knew he was hurt, and he came back in street clothes immediately.
Right. Right.
There was no middle ground. There was no let's go out and throw a little bit.
No.
And it's Tuesday, and I'm sure he hasn't done anything.
Right.
So we're talking about Wednesday. We're talking about later in the week, perhaps. I guess I feel like it's Doman. I have nothing to bank that on. Do you guys? You guys have any feel? Jack, you watched it. Any feel at all?
I'm with you. Go ahead, Jack. You go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, I'm saying just the tone of it. It didn't seem like there wasn't a sense of confidence coming from Scott Satterfield about it. It's like,
right.
Well,
yeah,
he's day-to-day.
Yep.
And I even noticed this, you know, usually Satterfield, he'll give you just quick answers, just like 45, 50 seconds, next question, and they'll just fight through them. He rambled some today, especially talking about the quarterbacks. Yeah. And I feel like that's something that you would do if there's an air of nervousness around it. You're not going to... And again, that could be just looking way too far into it, but like we never see Satterfield give like a two-minute answer, and he gave like three of them today when I asked about the quarterbacks. And that's something where I feel like he wouldn't be doing if Malik Cunningham was truly going to just be fine. And yeah, he's hurt, but he's banged up, but he'll still be able to play.
Yeah, and so what I'm struggling with is we're not going to hear from the coaches. So it's not, you know, Louisville's doing this thing, and I'm not against it. It's different. Kentucky, you know, has, you know, Stoops at the beginning of the week.
Right.
They have
and
him at the end of the week.
And then
they,
yeah.
in the middle of the week, you'll have Will Levis. You'll have that
Scangarello,
bum Scangarello.
Yeah, Brad
you'll
White.
Have Brad
yeah.
White, who was also a bum over the weekend. And so you'll have all those guys. And so it kind of spreads out the conversation.
Sure.
This is Tuesday. It's 45 minutes. It's three coaches.
And you get everybody.
And that's fine. I have no problem with it, but it's not like, okay, on Thursday.
There'll be an update.
Yeah, we'll talk to Lance Taylor on Thursday or Friday.
Sure.
Or Satterfield's going to talk again. There's no coaches show tonight. Obviously, the pregame's on with Drew Diener right now. And so I don't know how to talk about this because I think Doman's fine.
Yeah.
But I also know he has shortcomings.
And
but
we
so
also
does
haven't
Malik,
seen
and
him
all,
do
and
anything
different.
Other than, you know, the Virginia game, who's terrible.
Yeah, but I would
he
say
had a
in the
moments
I,
against,
I guess what I would say in the Virginia
Wake
game,
Forest, Pittsburgh,
what I would say in those games is, you know, if he has an entire week, that's different
sure.
than being thrown in there. I mean, last week Malik had. You knew he was going to be the starter. You know, I thought Blankenbaker brought up a good point. It's where you got to go is, you know, if Malik's injured and you're thinking Malik's going to be out, Domi can't get hurt.
No, he's got to be still. Well,
Domi can't get hurt. I don't know. I mean, Evan Conley's not even part of the team barely. So,
no,
like,
he's always in his hand.
Yeah,
in the
I don't
headset.
Know where
yeah.
you would even. I don't know where. I got to be honest. I don't know where you would even go.
Honestly,
I don't know where you would even go if that happened. I really don't.
If it was just one injury that we were talking about with Malik Cunningham, if it was just the hand or just the shoulder, then maybe there's a conversation here.
Right.
But it's both. I mean, his hand is broken. Like there's no, and he was not, well, he was not himself.
And he got throwing shoulder. You
right.
had him limping around. I mean, you had, you know, ankle and who knows what else. I mean, we know he's beat up. I just don't know. I don't know where to take this story because now I got Wednesday, Thursday,
right.
Friday. And if you're a Louisville fan, you got, you know, what time's the game on Saturday? Is it
3:30? I think.
I mean, you got time
game,
on
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got time on Saturday to figure this out. And it's like you're not going to get any other. There's going to be nothing that is going to further this story, okay, from 12 o'clock today
yeah.
to 3:30 on Saturday. And I kind of think, and I hate it for him, I kind of think the conversation is around how much you like Malik. How much do you believe in Malik? How much do you believe in Doman? How much of a loss is it? Is it a loss? Is it not a loss? It is a loss,
was
but
it
how much?
Doman to beat an NC State team that's pretty generic right now. I mean, if I'm a Louisville fan, I feel pretty good about the defense. I feel pretty good about my running back, Tyon Evans.
I feel good about them winning on Saturday.
I do too.
Like, if we come in here on Monday and they have lost that game and they lose and they look bad, I'm going to be.
The governor's cup's a big discussion.
Yeah, especially if they allow points, a lot of points.
Sure.
I'm going to be surprised.
Yeah,
I'm expecting them to win a defense, create turnovers, ugly game.
Yeah.
That's what I expect.
No, I'm with you, Andy. And you they should feel good about the rest of their team to go and beat an NC State team that is on the ropes and doesn't look very good at all, whether it's Brock Domen or Malik Cunningham. I mean, Brock Domen can throw a football. There are things that he can do that are nice that give them you know, something other than I know he doesn't have the running ability, but he has the passing ability. You got T. Huddy's coming on. I think Louisville wins that football game. I don't think it's much of a discussion. I think it's more of a discussion next week. I think it's more of a discussion for the Governor's Cup than it is for NC State. Because I think Louisville fans feel pretty comfortable about it. The only reason they don't feel comfortable with Kentucky is because of recency bias, and that's the only thing. But no, they should feel good about beating beating an NC State team that is without their starting quarterback and has completely blown their season away. They should feel good about
it. They lost to Boston College, so
exactly.
I think NC State is dead in the water. I do feel
they
that way.
No motivation. Louisville has motivation.
And I just, to me, it's not, is there a drop-off? I'm sure there is, but to me, that's not the point. The point is not turning it over, not making bad plays. Not making negative plays is the conversation. Texas says you guys are doing hardcore sports talk radio.
Yeah, we are.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Texas says welcome to the Take Disco Bar. Disco hour.
It does sound like a disco in here. There's not a lot of dancing, though. There's a lot of music pumping through the speakers, but I don't see anybody getting down at all, Andy. I'm a little disappointed. I figured it'd be some BBN dance-offs or something.
Texas says, my God, Scott is back calling Malik day-to-day. Stop trotting that kid out hurt like McMahon did Mick Foley.
That's a great – when Mick Foley went off the steel cage. That's what he should have called it a career, but he kept coming back with Mr. Sacco and everything. Mick Foley.
Texas says, my wife's been looking for the big O. Here we go.
Oh, well, yeah. Keep searching.
Texas says, Strebel comes off fake.
How am I fake? What did I do? I'm just standing here. What anything I say about – look, I'm trying to give you analysis about Louisville. I'm trying to be honest as possible. You want me to say your team sucks, that I think they're terrible, and they're going to lose every game? You want me to do that? Or you want me to tell you what I really think? Jesus.
Let's see here. Not going to read that one. Let's see here. Not going to read that one.
Oh, man.
Boy, wow.
There's a lot coming in. What's going on?
Texas says, Strebel giving predictions about UofL football. It's free radio. It is free radio.
Yes.
Yes. It's 100% free.
What do people want to just not talk about it? What? We want to just stand here have a take?
I love that.
They're so butthurt right now over DJ Wagner. They don't want to hear me about Louisville at all.
Here's
you bums, you get to hear me. How about that?
Here's the thing. And we'll get to Mike DeCourcy here in about 15 minutes. The conversation that I've loved, and I understand why Louisville fans are doing it. They don't have anything else right now.
No, they don't.
Because they don't like Scott Satterfield. They haven't liked Scott Satterfield, and now they can act like they do.
Right.
And they don't. No. And all they care about is the recruiting class. Again, they want to like some of them want to like Satterfield.
Sure.
Some of them do, and then some of them don't. And they're never going to. And it's why you're not more excited about your team when you could win games. But that's the case. Again, today it's been the discussion of basketball, DJ Wagner, and everything else. And the lead should be what about Malik, what about Satterfield?
It should be the lead.
But it's
You're
not that.
Right.
But it's not that, and we understand why. It's very transparent. The thing that I find interesting, it's not interesting because it's bottom of the barrel, are all of these. And Wayne, I know you called into our show and I made you wait on hold. It's because I don't want to take your phone call because you call into every show with the same thing and I don't need to hear it.
Right.
Okay, if you want to call in, we can take it specially, but I don't care to hear it, is about how Kentucky has won championship. Okay, and the reason I find that funny is outside of, and you hate him, Coach K, and it was a big deal when Bill Self won it last year.
Yeah.
Roy Williams has rode off into the sunset. I mean, that's the conversation here. Patino had to get the second one vacated. We know the story there. Mark Few still needs one. Cal's no doubt looking
for
his second. Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo, older guys, end of their career.
Sure.
I don't need to be lectured by Louisville fans on winning championships.
No.
That's what I would say.
Right.
So Wayne and all of you other ones, come up with something better. That is basic ass stuff. Come up with something better. It's fine. I hear you. You've said it.
A million times.
Yeah, you've said it a million times. But the truth is, what do you know about winning championships? What do you know? I would love to know. What do you know on any sport? Football, what do you know? Men's basketball. Hiring Danny Manning. Is that's getting you one step closer
to a championship?
To getting Jim Nance's tie? I'm just wondering.
You gotta give it to Rose Wheeler.
I'm just wondering what people know.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you've only won a championship. You understand what's going on, right?
Right. With the same your program, you're so far away from a championship.
Right?
It's in a different country.
And so
right
I was just laughing about that. That's like the number one takeaway. And I'm like, I get it. You're trying to rivalry, but I haven't heard that in so long that you're bringing that out of retirement. Who's? Well, I don't want to use Brett Favre because he's a felon.
He's a bad person,
scummy crook. But
yeah, Joe Montana.
By the way, they're on the mic here, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, you hear that? We might get a cat's cheer. I don't know if I'm being loud, but I'm like, I've heard that. Like, you've only won one championship.
Yeah, if it's not a championship, it's a bust. It doesn't matter.
And I'm like, yeah, they want to win many, many more championships, and it is disappointing. But you act like they shouldn't get good players because they might not win a championship with said good players, which is interesting, given that you have bad players and are trying to win against App State with bad players.
Right, and you want to talk championships.
And you talk championship with Samuel Williamson. You talk championship with Aiden Gahan and Carly Jones.
Yes.
I'm hoping we get a cat's chain. If not, Jack,
too,
we may
man.
Need to take a break.
It's loud in here now, Jack. You hear this gentleman?
Oh, here we go. Jack. Here we go.
You ready, Kellen?
C-A-T-S. Midway through it, Strebel.
One more time.
I don't want to ruin it.
Let's go get them, baby.
Let's go get them. That's right. Let's go get them. Beat down Sparty. Yes.
Everybody, appreciate you coming out.
Hell yeah. That away, dude. That away. Yeah. A little fist bump. Yeah. Let's go.
He got a fist bump, Jack.
I'm pumped now. I'm ready for this damn game.
He's pumped up.
Let's go.
Cooper didn't know they played the early game. I'm like, they played Michigan State, not Duke or Kansas.
Dude, what's he doing?
Why is John Shire better than Calipari? We'll talk with the Corsi about it next.